Hey, Rip City, this is Tumani Kamara, and you're listening to The Blazers Balcony with Brooke Ozemdam and Casey Holdall.
Greetings, Blazer fans, and welcome to The Blazers Balcony, episode 117 of The Blazers Balcony. I'm trying to pause less when I introduce those things, by the way. My name is Casey Holdall. As you probably know, hopefully you know at this point, I'm joined by my friend, co-host, co-worker, co-friend, Brooke Ozemdam. How's it going, Brookie?
Friend. It's going great. It's going good. Happy to be home. Had a great, fun road trip. We were in New Orleans and Chicago. I know one of those is your... Well, actually, I don't know. Two, they're both one of your favorites, right?
Both great stops. Yeah, both New Orleans and Chicago, two of the elite Western Conference stops in the NBA, though Chicago's not Western Conference. Though I was considering while we were on this trip, it would probably make more sense to have Chicago be in the Western Conference than New Orleans, and particularly more than Memphis. I don't think that's probably going to happen. But I was thinking about it on this trip that, like, I think the flight from Chicago to Portland is shorter than the flight from Portland to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And to me, all the conferences should be based off of how long does it take to get from Portland to there.
Completely agree. That should be the basis where everything starts, the distance between Portland and all the cities. It was fun, though. As Casey knows, my son and my mom and her husband came to Chicago. He's never been to an away game. And we've been wanting to figure it out for years. And they wanted to take him to the Field Museum, which has the dinosaur, which is Sue the T-Rex. Talked about that. And so they flew out. They got there the morning, the day before we got there. Well, no, the morning that we got there. So we got there late, obviously, after the New Orleans game. They were already there, had a day. And then the next day, got to spend the whole day at the Field Museum. It was so great. Went and had deep dish pizza, which was so great. And we're going to go to what's the place that everyone goes to? There's like a whole debate, you know, like Philly cheesesteaks in Philly. Like there's a whole deep dish pizza thing in.
Well, I think Giordano's is kind of, or Illuminati's maybe.
It's Giordano's that I thought I needed to go to. And it was really hard to get into that place. So I went to the front desk at our hotel and said, can you help? Because we're like, we want to go to a closer one. And then they switched us. And she goes, well, do you care which one you go to? I don't know. I'm just listening to what I heard. And she goes, well, we think here at the Four Seasons that Pisano's is better. I'm like, whatever you think. So they sent us to Pisano's, which was just a block away. And it was delicious. It was awesome. It was so good. And then the next day we had our game. They went and did their own thing, went to other museums. We had our game. They came. And then I stayed over and flew back with them yesterday. And it was just so fun. It was so different. Like usually I'm really Like I like to do the same things. I don't like to like things, curveballs on game days on the road. So I normally wouldn't like all these different things, but I just embraced it and was like, this is a once in a lifetime thing. And then the game ended up being great. So, and I actually ended up doing a show in Chicago before I went out of my comfort zone on this road trip and said, I'm going to say yes to everything. Go do stuff with the family, go do stuff, you know, with this broadcast in Chicago, and which was really fun. It's called The Rally. I hadn't heard of it before, but I went on. It was great. And then the game ended up being fantastic. So overall, it was jam-packed. It was kind of exhausting, but in the best way possible. And I slept well last night, and now we're ready to roll. We're back home for a couple before we go on the road for half of a month.
Exactly. This is our three-day trip to Portland in between a long home or a long road trip. A few things there, Brooke. Yeah, we went to Pequod's, which is Tristan's place that he always goes to. 3-hour wait to get in on a Sunday afternoon. We thought we were going to go for lunch. Ended up being dinner, but it was great. Pisano's just always reminds me of the pizza place at U of O dorms. It's called Pisano's, which is terrible, but you eat a lot of really bad pizza as a undergrad, so it sticks with you. and three, I got a little bone to pick with you, Brooke. You know, we go out of our way to not talk about the other podcasts that I do, but on these last few trips – you go on the Memphis Grizzlies podcast, and you do that with them.
I always go to the Chicago Bulls,
and then you do their show. And here I am watching these things, and I'm thinking to myself, like, well, wait a minute. Like, why is Brooke allowed to go and do all these things, but I feel like I have to hide the other podcasts that I'm doing? So I just kind of feel like, we need to get on the same page in terms of all of your other podcast happenings that that you talk about here and that I want to support, while, you know, you maybe not giving me the same level of support on mine.
I support the heck out of you, Casey. And it's called The Briefcase. Listen, if you haven't already, it's fantastic. The last one in Chicago wasn't even a podcast. It was a show. It was like a legit show. And it was really cool. Like, one of the cooler sets I've been been on. And it's right. It's kind of like, you know, Good Morning America and all that, where it's like you can walk by outside and like wave, and it was really cool. But nice people. Doing those shows takes nothing away from how wonderful your podcast is. And I apologize if you have felt that way. And I will never do another show again.
No, I just want you to bring the same level of intensity and focus to this podcast, which you do. As you do the other podcast, which I also wanted to mention too, that when we did the one in Memphis, I thought it looked really good. And you know, they would like us to do more video stuff with this podcast as well. And people saw how good your podcast looked with Memphis, and they're like, hey, why aren't we doing that, Casey? And I was like,
thanks, bro.
I don't have a good answer for you. So yes. So more Brooke and Casey, video podcasting, coming to your ears. We're basically like LeBron and JJ Redick, of the Portland Trailblazers. But with you know, more astute basketball talk, I would say, for us.
You know, I kind of feel like people come, like former players come on to the show podcast scene and kind of like blow up real fast. And JJ Redick being one of them. And I think he's really good. And I think he's really smart. And when he talks, I listen, even if I don't always necessarily agree. I find him just intriguing and smart. And you know, the newest one is Austin Rivers is everywhere I look. Have you noticed that?
I know he's doing more studio stuff these days.
Yeah. And
following in dad's footsteps, I suppose.
So I suppose you're correct. And I don't recall like seeing a ton of like when he was a player, a ton of interviews from him. So I didn't really know. But I feel the same way. I find him entertaining and he seems really like, you know, he knows the game really well for obvious reasons. And I've enjoyed him. So I'm just giving I didn't mean this and plan for it, but I'm giving little shout outs to former players who are now broadcasting, who are killing it. And I think he's doing a great job.
Yeah, I feel like the former player podcast stuff, particularly when they're talking about like the ins and outs of basketball, like they're better than anybody else. Like no one can bring the same level of understanding about kind of what is happening on an NBA court as former players. They are fantastic at that. It's when they start to delve further into the like talking about other issues that I feel like it starts to get a little. I feel like we've reached a little bit of a tipping point where it's like, you got Draymond out there who's kind of, you know, telling a version of things that just don't maybe seem to exactly jibe with reality. You got Gilbert Arenas who's just out there talking crazy nonstop all the time now. You know, I think JJ does a great job with his stuff. And again, I feel like I think Evan Turner has always done a really good job with their podcasts, because they don't get too like,
by the way, I think
my day with it, or like too like, it feels like sometimes the guys who do it well are honest and kind of like understand kind of the importance of being a little authentic. And the guys that maybe I think are maybe just kind of talking mess are the ones that it's like, yeah, guys, this is not the new media or whatever you think it was supposed to be. This is not an improvement over what is currently getting done in media. I guess that's what I would say. Like the basketball knowledge is way better. The like analysis of the world in the NBA, some of that stuff I feel like is it feels a little disingenuous sometimes to me.
I agree. I agree. But it's, by the way, what I was going to say, I got really excited when you brought him up, that I take a little bit of credit for how great Evan Turner is on his podcast, because we had our podcast back in the day.
That's true. Yeah, that was the first Evan Turner broadcast was the Brooke and Evan Turner on the Road podcast, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, road trip, and it was hilarious. And he, I got to give him credit where it's due. Like, you never know. Like these guys on the road, they have friends everywhere. And when I asked him, I was like, "Will you do this?" And he's like, without a doubt, he's like, "Yeah, I'd love to." I'm like, "Okay, well." I mean, it is, it's a commitment, you know, like we're going to really do it once a week, and it's going to be on the road, and it's going to take some time out of your schedule. And I know the basketball schedule in the NBA is very like to the minute. And then you want to see your people. And so I'm just, you know, like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, I'm sure. And he was so good. Like he was, not even just on time. Like Early had like bullet points. He would get his own guests when we were in LA. We went to the studio. He with his people. Like I just a shout out to Evan Turner because I and we know everyone knows that on the Blazers balcony we're big Evan Turner fans. But he was so good about it and blew my mind just how professional he was. And then obviously hilarious during them. I was just dying every episode, but he was very he was dialed in and the one of the not as great as my current podcast partner, but in terms
Brooke, see the thing I was just saying about being disingenuous, like that's right here, like no, like that was a very good podcast. This is a good podcast too, but like that was a very good podcast. You don't have to make Evan's candle dimmer to make my candle brighter, Brooke, or whatever that saying is.
I feel but I agree that it's that no one can explain what it's like to be an NBA player, or like go through plays and all the things, and then someone who actually played in the NBA. Like that, so I completely agree with you. Like I'd rather hear it from someone that's been through it, especially like the recent guys like JJ and Austin who very recently played in it, so they can speak to like the game that as it is now. And I agree with what you're saying about sometimes guys get a little bit, well, back when it was real basketball, back when I played, I'm kind of like, well, it's things evolve, you know, I can't, that's something I have a short fuse for, is the game is so different. And yes, every game is different. Like I said, things just change. It involves rules, players, things change. And so I can understand like you being like a fan of the classic old school, you know, big man basketball. That was great. I loved it too, but it can change. And I don't think one has to be better than the other. That's when they go down that road, like, this isn't even the same game anymore. I'm like, oh, well, it is. It's changed. And let's just love it still.
Yeah. I guess the last thing I'd say about that is, yeah, you can get old man shakes fist at cloud from anybody, you know, like you don't need to get that from a player. Like, so for players, like do the things that players do well and don't do the things that the rest of us do poorly, which is complaining about the world not being exactly the way that we might like it to be. So
yeah, totally.
A little unsolicited advice for any NBA players with podcasts who might be listening, of which I'm sure there are many of them, including many Portland Trailblazers that have just returned, as Brooke mentioned, from a 2-game road trip, 126-107 loss in New Orleans, followed by a 110-107 loss to the Bulls in Chicago. Both of those games, first three quarters of the Pelicans game, Blazers looked really good. Offense was flowing well, turning the ball over way too much, but they were still able to keep that a game versus the Pelicans team that was playing on the second night of a back-to-back. But unfortunately, and even though the Blazers were the team that weren't on the back-to-back, only scored 15 points in the fourth quarter, way too many turnovers. Pelicans end up turning like 20-something Blazers turnovers into 30-something Pelicans points. Pelicans end up winning that game. And then move on to Chicago. Very good game throughout that one as well. Blazers go down by 16 in that one. Able to rally back in the second half. Use a big lineup in the fourth quarter, which I thought was interesting, with Ant and Delano and Jabari playing the three. Jabari back in the lineup after that hip injury. Duat playing the four alongside DA, which is something we saw a little bit earlier on in the season, but not a whole lot since then. Chauncey counters with that to try to combat some of the Bulls' larger lineups, particularly Nikola Vucevic, a guy obviously a rebounding machine. Blazers get back into that game, go up momentarily in it, end up losing by three. And one of those situations too, where they just couldn't get a good look at three with how much time they had left. And you know, smart teams these days know that when you're up three late in games, you typically foul. Ant got fouled while trying to shoot a three that actually went in, but they called it on the floor, which was the right call. But you know, in honor of my Trailblazers employee-ness, trying to point out that maybe they should have allowed that three-pointer to go, but not really the case. But yeah, a very, again, two very competitive games. You would have liked to have maybe got one of them or both of them. But just nice to see some competitive basketball on the road going into these three games, versus two versus the Clippers, one versus the Nuggets. Obviously, two teams top of the Western Conference, so going to be difficult to get those ones as well. But I thought, you know, for a 2-game trip, Brooke, I thought they played well. Also wanted to mention, too, that you mentioned Theo was at the game in Chicago. I didn't see Theo sitting courtside next to Dame, which is what I just assumed that he would be, since Dame shows up with Phil Beckner to sit down and enjoy the game in Chicago, despite the fact that the Bucks aren't playing the Bulls until maybe today, actually.
Thanks to that. Theo was kind enough to give his seat up when he heard Dame.
That's what it was. Theo gave up his court set for Dame. Yeah, yeah. Good for you, Theo. Nice guy.
You know, he's selfless above all. No, that was so funny. So when I saw him, someone had said, you know, we got a text like he was coming. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And so I was sitting underneath the basket. Actually, it was really weird seat I was in because usually they try to, which makes sense, get the sideline reporter for the opposing team close to their bench and then their sideline close to their bench. I was on the opposite end, the same end you were on. So I looked over and he was just to my left. So I sent him a text. I was like, hey, buddy, or something. He's like, you here? I'm like, yeah, of course I'm here. And then he's like, where's Casey? I was like, he's over my right shoulder. And so I was like, well, I'll find him later. Like, I'm not going to go up to him courtside. It's kind of mayhem over there. And everyone's like talking about it. So I come out halftime and Matisse, we got the news that he wasn't coming back into the game. And so our producer, Greg, said, why don't you do a live hit under the basket talking about Matisse? And I was like, great, because I already had a story that I wanted to tell before Matisse got injured about how he, when he wasn't playing well offensively or not to his standards in Philly, he worked out with DeMar DeRozan and Dame in the offseason. And so I was like, what a perfect, this couldn't be more perfect. DeMar's sitting right there. Dame's sitting right here. It's about these three. So I just forced my story in, even though Matisse was going out. I just made it still. I was like, I'm going to do both. So I was like, Matisse, you know, not coming back, you know, news we've gotten over halftime, which is a bummer because he probably wanted to show off his, you know, newly honed offensive skills that he worked with in the offseason with Chicago's DeMar DeRozan. And then as soon as I start to talk about, and the other person, the referee comes up and grabs me and with one fell swoop of the arm and pushes me and my camera guy, because we had been out there a little long, the play was starting. And this has happened to me before, but this was like physically, he has his arm out and he's pushing me and pushing the camera guy. So without knowing it, I did like a perfect, this is broadcast talk, but a perfect broadcast wipe where I was like, and the other guy, Damian Lillard, who's right behind me. And so I get pushed out of the way and who's like right behind me is Dame. Like it was beautifully accidentally shot. Like, you know what I mean? And so it was great. And then obviously, what was funny is right before I did that live hit, he comes up and gets in the shot. And it was very mascot. Like I felt something, but I didn't know who or what it was. And then I looked over, I was like, oh, Dame, and Bruce took a couple pictures, whatever. And then he went and sat down. So I was like, well, at least I got to talk to him, give him a hug for 1 second, but it was almost live on air, which would have been interesting. But then later you and I got to see him afterwards. So that was nice to see him. But Theo and my mom and Scott were up further up. A shout out to Maggie Yang for hooking up with tickets. I don't usually ask for them on the road because I don't know. I just don't. And I know that a lot of players have family and stuff. So I was excited that they were able, she was able to put three away. And I asked her a long time ago. So give her a shout out for that. And it was great. And yeah, it was just an interesting night. There was so much going on that night. Like it was just crazy. Like Dan's here, my family's here. There's, you know, work to be done. It was just a lot going on, but it was fun. It was like a fun frenzy. I loved every second of it, but it was great to see Dame and he seemed really happy.
It was a good time. And it's always Chicago is one of my favorite stops. I love seeing games in Chicago. I didn't drop my laptop down three flights of stairs like I did last time we were in Chicago. So that's good. Even though I think this is the last Philly ride for the old KC laptop. I think this is we're going to get through the rest of the season. And then I think she's going off to the big laptop place in the sky. I suppose.
Blue factory.
Yeah, exactly. And last year too, Adam Sandler was at the game in Chicago when we were there. Which,
by the way, did you know that he's the number one highest paid actor in Hollywood?
I did not know that. Surprise me.
I guess like what I was surprised is I went to like Brad Pitt or George Clooney, and my dad is the king of trivia because he reads the Sunday paper and he knows like, did you know this? Like he'll quiz me on stuff, which is actually really fun. He's like, who do you think's the highest paid actor? And I went through all the, you know, the big names, Oscar winners. And it makes sense because he's a family man. If he doesn't want to do it, he's not going to do it. So if and every movie he makes is gold, and he kind of picks and chooses, and then they become huge hits. And think of like, you know, every Adam Sandler movie, he's not just throwing himself out there left and right. But I was a little bit surprised to find out he was the highest paid actor.
So I'm curious about the definitions of that though, because I'm wondering if he's the, like if it's net worth or if it's like he draws the most for his roles, because I know that like basically he produces all of his movies anyways. So like
that's probably
it all goes to Adam Sandler, but like, I don't know, like if you want to get Adam Sandler in your movie, so like Uncut Gems, mm-hmm. I don't think the Safdie brothers paid Adam Sandler the most money that anyone gets paid in Hollywood to act in that movie. You know, he's got a cut of it. You get money on the back end. Like, there's a lot goes into. I know that in terms of like his value, I'm sure he's right up there because, to your point, he's prolific. He puts out movies. Even though I was thinking about this the other day, it's like he's got a give me a Billy Madison like esque movie. Like enough of this. Yeah. Like I'm a dad. Like or this or that. Like give me back to these straight slapstick. Yeah. Idiocy movies. Like give me one more of those before, you know, you're doing On Golden Pond and stuff like that.
what was it The Gardens, what's that movie where the actresses are older and it's like Grey Gardens.
Yeah, but that's a weird movie though. Like that's not a aging crazy. That's not like Cocoon or something like that, you know.
I love Cocoon, by the way. I don't know. Yeah, we're getting to the phase where, I mean, we might be over the line with that one. I don't know if he can come back to slapstick.
I think it's probably over, but yeah, like, I mean, yeah, give me one more. Give me one more Happy Gilmore, you know, like.
I agree. I would die. I'd love it so much. There's Billy Madison, all those are just, they live forever. So many one-liners, and only he could do that weird character where, like, I would probably be annoyed if anyone else did it, but that's his thing, you know? And
yeah, it's just, he's been grandfathered into being like that character. Like nowadays it's like, what are you doing here? But yeah, no, you know, he's been doing it for so long, he's allowed to get it done. And Brooke, to be fair, one of the reasons why I bring up Adam Sandler is because I wanted to let our listeners know that just kind of how much of a sewing circle it is in the NBA in terms of rumor mongering. So, you know, we hear that Dame's going to be coming to the game. But the other part of that is Dame's coming to the game and he's coming with Olivia Rodrigo. And I was like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah, we've heard that he's coming with Olivia Rodrigo. And I was like, really? And they're like, yeah, no, that's what they said. And I was like, well, we got to get to the bottom of this. So, you know, eventually the game starts. See Dave come out with Phil Beckner, his trainer, Ant's trainer.
The Olivia Rodrigo of trainers.
Not Olivia Rodrigo, but yeah, exactly. I would say maybe the Olivia Rodrigo of NBA third-party trainers. And so it turns out that she's just playing the United Center the next day. And so they thought that she might be coming to the game. They heard that Dame was coming to the game. And then I think somewhere along the line, that just gets confused as Dame is coming with Olivia Rodrigo, not from the Blazers side, by the way, to this. I mean, this is not our business. This is all Chicago stuff. And so that's the man. And you're right. We talk. I did text him yesterday and I was like, hey, it was good to see you. Did you hear about what the rumor was? And he was like, no, what? And I was like, that you were going to be coming with Olivia Rodrigo. And he was like, why would people think that? I was like, you know how it is in this business, man. Like people hear a name, they hear one name and they just put those two names together. And that's just for dumb things. So you understand how like trade rumors and things like that get pushed along as well, because sometimes someone just hears something and then walks down a hallway and hears something else. And then 10 minutes later, those things meld together and that becomes the rumors. So that's how some of the rumor sausage gets made. Damian Lillard was not at the game with Olivia Rodrigo though.
So I had not heard that rumor. I was down in my own little world in the basket and I didn't hear that. Casey and I saw each other at the media room at halftime and he's like, yeah, did you hear, you know, the rumor? I was like, no, what rumor? When you told me that, I was like, is it weird that I really want, I wish that would have been true. Like it would have just been the night and the day was already, like I said, like so much going on. I'm like, that would have just been over the top. And now like the whole other like level to this, obviously I knew that was not true, but that just would have been wild. And that would have been too much, just too much. So I knew it wasn't true. And I'm glad that, you know, he came with Phil. I will say, which is so funny, by the way, Olivia Rodrigo, I'm going to see this summer. Did I tell you that I got maybe the last four tickets and it was like 30 minutes after they opened? I knew she was popular. I had no idea she was as popular as she is. Like I got the last four tickets because my girlfriend and her two daughters love her. They called, they're like, is there any way she's coming? You know, she's coming to Portland. They live in Spokane. I was like, I'll try. And then I called our ticket guy who's doesn't even do tickets for concerts, but he, you know, has the person. He goes, this is so random. He's like, I was going to say absolutely not. There's no way. And I just got an email saying these four, you know, came back, popped up. So I was like, great, grab them. I'll get them. So anyways, if anyone's wondering how popular Olivia Rodrigo is, she's very, very popular. So that would have been like a very big story on all levels. Anyways, I saw Dame at after the game with Phil, And I walked up and gave Phil a hug, and he goes, I saw something on Twitter, and I thought, that's for sure Brooke. I was like, oh no. Well, I knew whatever it was. I didn't say anything about Dame on Twitter. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, I read it. I was like, Brooke's behind that. And I was like, when he told me, I was so mad I wasn't behind it. He said, someone tweeted, Anfernee Simons trainer at game with plus one. sitting courtside with a friend, like Anfernee Simons trainer sitting courtside with a friend. I was like, dang it, why didn't I say that? That would have been hilarious. So I don't know who did, but I thought that was so funny. I was jealous I didn't come up with that on my own.
Last thing, can you get me Pearl Jam tickets, Brooke, because I'm an idiot and didn't buy them. And okay. I'm not a big Pearl Jam fan or anything, but now I've since had like five different people ask me about Pearl Jam tickets, and I'm an idiot, and I should have just bought them when I had the chance and just
think about it. I forgot.
Handed them out.
I grew up, Pearl Jam was our jam in high school. And I actually met Eddie Vedder at the Alaska Airlines.
Of course you did. I know. In London or?
No, it was in Seattle. No. I was when I was traveling for CBS College Sports. Since I traveled so much, you know, you get status. Because I traveled to a different college every Thursday, came back every Sunday. So I was traveling a ton. So I got to go to the lounge. And I walked up. And, you know, it's mostly men and women in suits, you know, travel business, stuff like that. And then every once in a while, there's just someone or a group of people that just kind of stands out. And I look over and there's this group sitting in like a circle, like one of the like little areas where there's all the chairs are facing each other and there's TV. And they're all in like these big puffy jackets inside. I'm like, and stocking caps. I'm like, who are those people? And then I look and I see a guitar case and I see another guitar case. And I get closer, I'm like, OMG, that is Eddie Vedder. And one of my best friends in the world, Amber, and her husband, their dog's name was Vedder. That's how much they love Pearl Jam. And I'm not someone to approach like celebrities really, unless like it takes a lot. I don't like to bother people. And I'm like, if I don't take advantage of this for them, they'll kill me. So I went up to him, and I can't believe I did it. You know, they're in a place where they hope they won't get bothered. That's probably why they have the lounge pass. People will leave us alone here. Well, I didn't. I went up. I go, I'm so sorry to bother you. My best friend's dog, they love you this much. Their dog's name is Vedder. I go, I grab this piece of printer paper from the work area. Is there any way you can just like, can I get your signature for them? They will just, I will never forgive myself if I don't ask for them, and they will never forgive me. And he was the kindest. He's like, absolutely, you know, in his deep voice. And he takes the piece of paper, and I give him a pen, and he puts it on the table in front of him, and he's doing something like it's taking longer than I thought it would take. I'm like, what's he doing? Finally, he hands it to me. He's like, tell, you know, no problem, you know, have a great day. And he was super nice. And I looked down and it's an elaborate drawing. Like he's drawn this whole thing, like a wave and all this stuff. And then at the end, it said, feed the Vedder, he's hungry. And then signed. And so I framed it and I gave it to him and they cried.
Wow. What a gift. That's great.
It was the coolest thing. I was like, I've never been more excited to give someone something because I knew how like precious it would be to them. And it's Sam, who's her husband, who's the number one fan. It was really more for Sam. It's in his office in Spokane, in his house. It's like proudly displayed right above his desk. And that was like one of those things where I wasn't sure if I should do it. I'm so glad I did. It could have gone badly. Then I'd have like Eddie Vedder's a jerk story. And then that would be really sad, but he wasn't.
I've heard a lot of Eddie Vedder as a jerk stories actually. So I'm glad it turned out better for you. I was more of a Soundgarden guy myself. So you know, maybe that's why I never really got into a dog. In fact, I got two. That's my, there you go. That's my Eddie Vedder. For the dog signing.
It just reminds me of high school at Pearl Jam. Like it's so many memories of us just listening. I won't do it. Never mind.
I feel like your version of Shallow, it has a lot of Eddie Vedder in it. Like you don't sing it as much anymore, but like you go like real guttural, like, yeah. There you go.
Oh, that was, you're right. Wow. Yeah. About that, worlds colliding. I love it.
Yeah, you're tell me something good. It was always, I thought, very Eddie Vedder-ish.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch that. That's one of the, you know, I talk about all the time on the podcast, all of these things I'm obsessed with, and I go back and watch over and over again when I'm bored or I can't sleep, which does not help you go to sleep. But that is one of those that at the Oscars, that performance of Shallow. I just love it so much. It makes me cry every time. So, so good. Anyways, if you want a tearjerker, go watch that again.
Well, the performance of the Portland Trailblazers, really, not too awful bad either. Yeah, there you go. That's my podcast broadcast wipe for you there, Brooke. Again, you know, as they're playing out this last 14 games, one more month of the season left to go. You know, guys are starting to get healthy, which is great. And I think we're starting to see more and more. You know, you got Scoot back in the starting lineup, and you got Tumani back in the starting lineup. You got Chris in the starting lineup now. So, you know, you got three of the rookies who are playing significant minutes now starting. I imagine that Rayon is probably going to kind of join the semi-regular rotation here soon. Remix season is just about over, and that's not necessarily why he hasn't been playing. But now that everyone will be with the team, I would say, for the rest of the season and on this road trip, you know, really an opportunity for some of these young guys to get out there and kind of test some things out. And, you know, while I do think that some of the veterans, so, you know, Matisse came back, but as you mentioned, Brooke, you know, he played 5 minutes in the game versus the Bulls and then left the game again. So you don't know kind of what his status is going to be, at least for these three games here in Portland. Jeremy Stoblitz is doubtful. I imagine at some point in time he is going to be back in the lineup, but, you know, and a little difficult to say there. Not entirely sure if we're going to see Malcolm again this year. So, you know, a real chance for some of these younger guys to get out there and play. And I think we're seeing more and more that, you know, not only are they able to go out there and you know, like, comport themselves well, but, like, they're not getting run off the court, you know, when they're out there. And I, you know, that's been something that for years, you know, the Blazers always would have like a good five or six guys. And then once you got to that secondary group, like, things would really kind of fall off the cliff. And, you know, it just seems like with this team, and even though they're young and taking their lumps, like, it seems like, you know, when those bench guys get in there, like, they typically, like, do a good job. And, you know, I mentioned that in the Bulls game, you know, you had, you know, they were down 16, but, you know, then Duop comes in the fourth quarter and plays really well. And you got Jabari who comes in and plays really well, you know, basically after having not played for a week and a half with that hip injury. You got Scoot that comes in and does some things. You know, you're getting something out of Delano right now, and you're kind of figuring out, like, hey, is Delano, like, is that going to be a situation where, like, we do end up picking up his option going into next season? A lot of opportunities for some of these young guys to play now. And I think, you know, I think we're going to see more and more in this last month of the season that, you know, they're going to prioritize some of those opportunities. Now, granted, you know, in the fourth quarter of the game versus the Bulls, you know, while they did go with that bigger lineup, you know, Chauncey, I think, was really trying to win that game. And so, you know, maybe they weren't playing some of the younger guys as much as they would have. I think he did mention he wanted to get Scoot back into the game in the fourth quarter, but it just, the opportunity didn't arise. And you want them to get those experiences where they're playing in those not high pressure situations, but, you know, just in those situations where you're having to make plays and to not make mistakes in order to give yourself a chance to win. And I think, and I hope, that in this last month of the season that we're going to see more and more of that from these young guys, because I think, you know, you look at the schedule, you got days off in between every game, probably some opportunities to get some practices in, maybe work on a few things still. And, you know, there's still a lot of things that they can achieve in this last month of the season, even if, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be doing anything afterwards. The Blazers have been eliminated from the postseason, by the way. Not that we ever knew that was really going to be a possibility for this team this year, but they have since. I don't know if it was with the Pelicans loss or the Bulls loss, but at some point in time, mathematically eliminated. So now you really have a chance to maybe get these guys out there and grow some things going into next season, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I also feel like on the road is kind of a good place to do that too. You got an extended period of time you're going to be out there. That just seems to me like a really good opportunity for this team to kind of get together one last time and really kind of work on getting a few things figured out and getting a foundation with which to build on going into the summer and then into summer league and then into next season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the more time spent playing together, like, Delano has just blown my mind. I mean, I'm not alone on that one. Just how much he's come in and the confidence that he I think he's always had, but it's just what he wasn't in the right situation to, you know, utilize that confidence on the floor. And Chauncey and the staff have given him that and more. And I talked with him the other day before the game. This what didn't make the interview, but just about the green light. And he's like, I say in more like a, not like for sure, like 100% green light, but more like just a sense of freedom to be able to play with. And he's like, I don't totally get a green light. And he's, you know, he's a very honest guy. He's like, I don't totally get a green light. Like, when I do something wrong, Chauncey pulls me and I'm told what I did wrong. And then I say, okay, well, that wasn't the right shot. So he is more given more freedom, but he's still held accountable, I guess I would say. That's how he explained it to me, which I think makes perfect sense. But that group as a whole, like, yeah, you root for them individually. And then when they get out there, like you said, the larger lineup that we saw with Duop and Jabari, I loved that. It was fun to see that it was different. And I'm like, okay. And then you got to see Duop and, you know, Jabari play off of each other. And the more reps they can get together, the better. And we'll see what happens next year. But it's fun just to kind of root for this young group that's going out there and giving it everything they have and learning at the same time. And there are mistakes made. That turnovers have been an issue. But it's just it's fun to see them at least just play together and try to build as much chemistry as they can that will be utilized then next season, however that plays out, whoever's back, whoever's not. But yeah, I'm looking at the rest of the season as just fun basketball where, you know, their energy is going to be there in the effort and just kind of just enjoy it. And they're never out of a game. I mean, coming down 16 at one point last game and they come back and, as we all know, made a game out of it. So you're going to see fights, and that's all that, you know, Chauncey is asking of them right now. And of course, that's not all, but like continue to learn and work on your specific game. Work on, as you know, on yourself as a teammate, and I'm just going to enjoy the rest of these games. Just sit back and just enjoy them, and no expectations whatsoever, except for the guys to build chemistry and play alongside each other, and hopefully, knock on wood, you know, stay healthy.
Yeah, and it has been, again, it's been an enjoyable brand of basketball, and it's fun to watch the team compete, even if they're not, you know, necessarily getting the victories. Delano, I think, has been really interesting. Obviously, his three-point shot is something I wrote about on this last road trip, and I think part of that, the confidence, and not even so much the confidence, Brooke, but what you're talking about, the ability to play through some mistakes. And yes, if I make a mistake, particularly an egregious one, yes, Chauncey's going to pull me aside and be like, hey, man, what are you doing? But to know that, like, yeah, I can go out there and make some mistakes and I'm still going to get a chance to continue to play. And, you know, like, that is something that, you know, as a young player, particularly when you're on really good teams, you know, and the Celtics being a really good team, you know, you don't really have that opportunity. And that, I mean, that's no knock on the Celtics. Like, they're trying to accomplish something and they need to win now. And that's the way it goes. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have talent. So, you know, for Delano to get that opportunity with the Blazers right now, I feel like is great for him, and it's great for the Blazers. And just to kind of put the numbers to it, you know, in his 17 games with the Blazers, 7 starts, which is already 3 more starts than he had his entire career in his first 2 stops with the Raptors and the Celtics. 25.7 minutes per game, shooting 43% from the field, 39% from 3, 10 percentage points better than his best season 3-point shooting. And boy, I don't, a lot percentage points better than the 12% he was shooting in Boston earlier this year. 74% shooting from the free throw line, 4.4 rebounds, 2.6 assists, almost a steal a game as well, 14.3 points. So, you know, they're definitely getting something from Delano right now. And I think part of that is opportunity, and part of that is, you know, the nature of the games the Blazers are playing right now. But still, you know, you're definitely seeing something out of him that I don't think you necessarily expected to when you made that trade. And again, just give me one more piece to kind of kick around and see if there's something there more long term. And so that's something to look out for the rest of the season. I feel like a guy who, you know, went through a little bit of a slump and then kind of came out of it a little bit on this last road trip was Duop. You know, like I felt like the game that he played versus the Bulls, 14 points, 5 of 6 shooting from the field, 2 of 3 shooting from 3 for Duop. You know, I feel like he'd been struggling just a little bit in terms of his offense. And, you know, with DeAndre playing as well that he's been playing, there's not a whole lot of minutes at backup center right now. And so to get Duop out there with DeAndre, I think is a pretty good idea. And DeAndre obviously is playing phenomenally right now, 37 minutes in that Bulls game. I think he's been playing close to 40 minutes a night lately, which, you know, on one hand you love to see, particularly because of the games he missed. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if, as we got further and further along here in this last month of the season, if some of those minutes tailed off just a little bit. But really liking what you're seeing out of him. And again, like, that using Duop as a 4 too is, like, that's kind of a fun, interesting idea. Like, you know, we consider him more of a stretch 5, but, you know, he absolutely has the ability to play the 4, particularly against teams that don't have kind of longer, lankier stretch 4s. They're playing more kind of back to the basket 4s. That's something that Duop is really accustomed to defending and going against on the offensive end as well. So it's been fun to see that. I'm really glad Jabari's back in the lineup. You know, he's a guy who I feel like was making a lot of strides before he had that little hip issue. I wouldn't all be surprised if maybe Jabari got himself back into the starting lineup here in the last month of the season. I would kind of like to see that. I thought he played a really interesting game, 33 points, only scored 3 points versus the Bulls, but had 10 rebounds and 4 assists. 4 assists, something that, you know, we're not necessarily accustomed to seeing out of Jabari. And I feel like as he gets more and more comfortable, you know, he's a guy who has some of that playmaking ability because he's so smart, and like his ability to offensive rebound and then make plays off of offensive rebound usually just goes right back up with it. But I think there's a real opportunity there for him to maybe kind of utilize that to maybe, you know, trick defenses a little bit. They think he's going to go back up with it and find another guy maybe in the corner for three, or maybe cut into the basket. So, you know, just a lot of things here and there that I've been seeing, and just small things too, you know. And I think when you're watching this team in the last month of the season, like for me, it's like just finding a couple things in every game and being like, okay, like let's follow along with that a little bit and see if there is some consistency there, and if that's going to be something that maybe they're going to try to do later on in seasons going forward. So, you know, even though, again, like the, you know what it is with this team, you kind of know that they're going to finish somewhere between 28th and 26th or 25th this season. Still a lot of small things to kind of watch out for, particularly for the young guys. And for me, that makes the end of this season, you know, pretty interesting, and just as interesting, or maybe even more interesting than, you know, kind of the middle of the season where, you know, a lot of guys were out with injuries and they're really having to cobble together lineups. So if they're able to keep guys healthy and have an opportunity to again, to like have some lineup consistency, I think this last month of the season actually is fairly interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. And it is kind of like with, you just mentioned no playoff chances, that there's a little bit of pressure taken off. I mean, not that there was pressure before, but now it's just, you know, it's factual. So
there is a thing about it. Yeah, it's a little hard to kind of put your finger on, but there is it does change things just a tiny bit, even just from a way you're viewing the game's kind of mentality.
Yeah, so play free and maybe take some chances, take some risks. And, you know, the coaching staff can do the same and with lineups and trying new things. And yeah, just have fun the rest of the season. Learn and work hard. I'm not saying to take the rest of the season off. That's not what I'm saying. But just enjoy it and work on specific things that the guys want to work on personally and as a team goals. And just look at it that way and just have fun, play free.
Well, and in that regard, before we wrap up this edition of the Blazers Balcony, we are a late segment here. We are premiering, I think Brooke talked about it a few podcasts ago, the You're Doing Great, Sweetie segment here on the Blazers Balcony segment, where we're just going to single out one guy who we feel like has been playing well or has been doing something well. Actually, it doesn't have to be about playing well. It can be about, you know, he picked up the tongs for me when we were dishing out food at the end of the game the other night. Like, whatever it is, it could be on any topic for any reason, but just want to single out a few guys here and there for some of the things they've been out there doing in the segment that is loosely based off of which Jenner is it? Is she a Jenner anymore?
Kris Jenner, yeah.
Kris Jenner, yeah. The Kris Jenner holding the camera.
You're doing great, sweetie. So I'll start if that's okay. I'm going to. It happened in last game. I'm giving mine to Dwight Reed. He's doing great, sweetie. Especially last game when he's going up against one of the largest humans I've ever seen in my life. And obviously he has to wrap up Andre Drummond a couple times in a row.
That's right. Yeah.
It was right in front of me. As I mentioned, I'm sitting under the basket on that end and I watch him. He is doing everything he can, everything possible. It's just a matter of pounds and height. I mean, this, you know, Drummond is just a monster and he's working so hard to defend him in the right way. And then at the end, you know, he's like, it's gone too far. I can't do it on this play. So, you know, he wraps him up loosely the first time, gets the foul. But, you know, it was the right thing to do at that point because it's automatic too from Andre. Not the next time, maybe a couple more times down. It was more of an egregious grab, you know, like he just bear hugged him and just held on to him, you know. And then the fans were like, whoa, whoa. Like, and I even looked, the gal next to me, who I really like, she works, she covers Chicago. And it was kind of funny. She goes, I think that's what you call a mismatch. And I was like, ha ha, yes, but don't say a word about Dwight Reed in my presence that isn't positive or I will lose it. And I said, I said to her, Dwight Reed, like, just don't. I was like, just walk, don't. And she wasn't saying anything, you know, because it's true. Like, it was, anyone's a mismatch really against Andre Drummond, but he just gave it everything he could. And he always does. And as you mentioned, coming out of a slump, and I thought he played great that game. And he always wants to play his best, and he cares so much. And he's such a great teammate. He's beloved. And just that game, I saw him literally. I saw the wheels turning. I saw his, you know, everything in his power to defend him. And he gave it his all. And it was just, I just was really proud of him. And he did what he had to do. And that, at times that was wrap him up and just hold on and make sure he couldn't get a shot up. And that's, you know, that's all that could be asked of him then. So Duop Reith, you're doing great, sweetie. Keep going. There's not an Andre Drummond on every team next game up.
Well, I hope, Brooke, that when Duop crossed Andre Drummond over and left him on his butt and drove by him, I hope you looked over and be like, you know, that's a mismatch.
Dang it, opportunity missed.
You're too nice, Brooke.
I know, it's true. But yeah, that was awesome. I was like, whoa, I was vocal when that happened. I was like, oh, drop. So like, she heard me.
Yeah, it wasn't this, and to be fair, not exactly a crossover, but you know, he drove by a guy and the guy ended up on his ass. So, you know, that's that counts.
Yeah, it counts.
All right. So for my You're Doing Great, Sweetie, I'm picking Tumani Kamara because for Tumani, I feel like Tumani's been playing great lately, particularly since getting back into the starting lineup. You know, he had that there, you know, he played really well at the beginning of the season, got that starting spot, lost it, and never got discouraged about it, got back into it. And I feel like, you know, the last 2 months of the season, he's been playing really well. So in February, Tumani averaging 9.3 points on 52% shooting from the field, 50% shooting from three, 92% shooting from the free throw line, 5.4 rebounds, 1.3 assists. And then more recently in the month of March, did I say February there? I meant February, if I didn't. Now in March, 8 points for Tumani, 47% shooting from the field, 40% shooting from three, 80% shooting from three throw line, 5.2 rebounds, 1.9 assists. I feel like Tumani has really, he's been a lot more aggressive offensively lately, or at least like a lot more definitive in terms of like what he's going to do on the offensive end and making quick decisions and maybe looking for not his own shot, but for the opportunity to put the ball on the floor and maybe just force the issue a little bit more in terms of finding his own offense. I feel like he's done a great job with that. You know, if he's a guy who can shoot 50% from the field, if he's going to be a guy who's getting into the paint to give himself the opportunity to make those kind of shots and shoot that kind of percentage while also being a 35 to 40% three-point shooter, which, you know, he's got a ways to go there, but he's been shooting that in the last couple months. You know, Tumani really becomes a super valuable player, and he's already valuable to this team anyways. And defensively, you already know what you're going to get out of Tumani, and you know that there's still a lot of room to grow there, but he's already a very good defensive player. You know, if he's able to match some offense to that as well, and again, it doesn't have to be a prolific scorer, but just someone who, you know, you really have to pay attention to on the offensive end when the ball is rotating and when it's kind of getting to the second and third guys. You know, I really feel like Tumani's done a really nice job in the last couple months of the season, and could have got discouraged, could have kind of got down on himself about, you know, kind of having some of his minutes reduced and having his role reduced a little bit. He hasn't done that. And now I feel like he's really a fixture to that starting lineup and someone who, you know, I absolutely expect that we're going to be able to see him there going forward. So yeah, I'm giving it to Tumani because I think he deserves it. And Brooke's wearing her Tumani or her Tumania sweatshirt anyways. Yeah. So it melts well.
Yes, it does. I love the sweatshirt. It's very understated. I barely see it, barely notice it. Just kidding. If you're not watching or if it's not a video clip, it is the brightest yellow. And the writing Tumani is in red. It's a piece. It's very much a standout piece. And I love it. I mean, I wear it all the time. So I love it. Yes, Tumani is doing great, sweetie.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a good place to stop on this edition of the Blazers Balcony. We will talk to you again next week from the road. I don't know if maybe we'll be in Houston. Maybe we'll be in wherever we're going after Houston. I already don't recall, but we're going to be making plenty of stops.
Washington? I don't know. Before we do, I have to give a quick shout out to Palomar last
please.
Night.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, so I've been meaning to go. Ricky Bella, who is a Blazers fan and great guy and wonderful chef. He was actually out of town. He was back in New Orleans doing like a pop-up shop or something, but I've been meaning to go. He's the head chef there. And so he was very helpful, got my reservation, went, and like I said, I've been wanting to go for a long time. Food was fantastic. Autumn Moon, who works in the kitchen, made something special. And the reason also I want to bring this up is because she came out, she's like, we saved this for you. We only make it on Sundays, but we knew you're coming in, so we saved it for you. And it is Cuban macaroni salad, heavily mayo based.
Oh God, of course, yes.
And they saved it just for me because they knew of my love for mayo. So it was to die for. And so if you want to go on and if you're like me and like that kind of stuff, it's only on Sundays, but they saved a little bit for me and it was so good, but it was fantastic. Jordan, shout out to him. He's the head bartender. He was great. Ricky, who owns it. I don't know if he was there. Two Rickies. I don't know if he was there. I didn't see him, but great experience. And they're Blazers lovers. And so I just wanted to give a shout out, as always, to small business. I don't even know if you call that a small business, restaurant, whatever.
Yeah,
business.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally.
That are Blazers supporters. So if you haven't had a chance, get to Palomar. So, so, so good. Highly recommend. And the service is great. And it's beautiful. It's real cute. It's understated, but it's really nicely decorated. It's like Cuban, like fusion, but it was to die for. So I was very impressed. Go if you can.
Yeah. Like I think 18 episodes ago, we even discussed maybe have our 100th episode at Palomar. Didn't end up happening, but you know, maybe this off season, we'll figure something out. We haven't done an on location yet in some time, Brooke. We probably need to get back to doing that at least once.
I would love to. Let's do it.
Well, at some point in time, we will do that, but not in this next, we will be together on the road trip though. So we'll be doing some in-person pods. Mm-hmm. So you can hear me messing around with a microphone and looking out the window, wherever we happen to be at. So thank you for joining us. As always, please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Go to trailblazers.com/podcast to subscribe to all of our podcasts, both this podcast and the other podcasts that other people produce.
Make sure to listen to The Briefcase.
Make sure to listen to The Briefcase.
Best
ever. Brooke's trying to make me feel better now because she keeps joining other podcasts that are better than mine, but that's okay too. Everyone wants a piece of Brooke. It's understandable.
You never asked me to be on The Briefcase, by the way. That would be kind of weird.
That's true. We should do a briefcase interview, actually. Yeah, a 5 to 8 minute interview. That's okay. That's what I do there.
All right, let's do it. I'm in.
Yeah. No. Well, that's a good idea. That's happening. Coming soon. I'll interview you about this podcast like I'm not a part of it.
That's awesome. That would be really funny.
Yeah. You can gossip and be like, man, my co-host. This dude.
The worst.
It's hard. It doesn't make it easy. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll talk soon. Trailblazers facing the Clippers on Wednesday and Friday, and then the Nuggets on Saturday, and then out of town on Sunday for the next 15 days. So we'll catch up with you at some point in time on the road. Brooke Olsendam.